Good morning, Rabotai. Welcome to Breakfast in the Class. Breakfast in the Class, this entire week, is dedicated by the Daniel S. Loeb Torah Center gold donor, John Luke Berevi, for the blessing of his wife, Miriam Bat Yudit, and their children, Noah, Liat, and Eyal, and for the refuah shelema of Avraham ben Malka. Additionally, Breakfast in the Class is dedicated for a speedy and complete refuah shelema for Eliyahu Shalom Mazal Fortuneh and Chana Bat Simafega. The week of Breakfast in the Class, dedicated in loving memory of Maurice's brother, Joseph Aiden, Salam HaShalom, Lino Nishmat Yosef Ben Yehudit Abraham, Salam HaShalom, sponsored by Linor and Maurice Aiden. Breakfast in the Class is also dedicated in loving memory of Jack Abta, Salam HaShalom, Lino Nishmat Yaakov Ben Rachel, sponsored by his son, Meir Abta, and as well, the week of Cobra was sponsored by David E. Ash in honor of you and your substantial capacity to good today and every day. Last but not least, we also have a sponsorship of today's Breakfast in the Class in honor of Haron and Sandy Shohet and the beautiful mazal tov that they received, that they deserve over the babies that they have had in the recent crop. Baruch Hashem, Hashem should bless you and your entire family to be able to be zochet to see many, many simachot and the growth of the family. Michael El Chayil, thank you so much for that beautiful sponsorship, sponsored by Emmanuel Zara. We wish you a refuah shelema and a return to both of your legs walking healthy and strong. Raglecha Sidav Yishmor, since that fateful basketball night back on the Moise Safra Center's court. Okay, let's begin, my friends. We are understanding and looking to understand a very beautiful and powerful omission of something. Normally, when something is beautiful, when something is powerful, when something is noticeable, it's blatant. It's there in front of you. Very rarely are you noticing something that doesn't exist. And let me explain what I mean. When you pulled out the Sefer Torah, on Monday, when you pulled it out on Shabbat afternoon this past week, we opened up to a new Sefer. We opened up to the Sefer of Vayikra. This is my Bar Mitzvah parasha, so I'm very partial to this parasha. So I opened up the Vayikra, and I look for every time you look for that, the first word, Vayikra, that has what's called Aleph Zahira, which means the small little Aleph. Vav, Yud, Kuf, Resh, small Aleph. And why is the Aleph small in the word Vayikra, very famous? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was uncomfortable with the attention that he was being given. Let's explain, what does that mean? At the time, Moshe Rabbeinu is being called with an expression of closeness. And God called Moshe, lovingly Yani, with respect from the Mishkan. Moshe did not want that there should be an expression of closeness to him in the Torah. So what did he try to do? He said, listen, God, can I eliminate the Aleph? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, well, you know, no, you can't. What was Moshe's intention? He wanted the word to read instead of Vayikra, which means, and he called to him, rather, Vayiker. And God happened upon Moshe. In other words, listen, God didn't know who to go to. You know, he looked in the yellow pages for Navi. There wasn't that many options. So what did he do? He called the first person he could get his hands on, and that was Moshe. So Moshe would have been much more comfortable if it looked like, look, I happened to call this guy. His name was Moshe. He did a pretty good job. I gave him 5 stars on Yelp. Okay? And therefore, you know, that's how the Torah would read. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, that's not what I want. It has to say Vayikra with an Aleph. So Moshe says, okay, fine. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make the Aleph. I'm going to put it there. Hashem, I'm going to put it there. You didn't tell me what size the Aleph has to be. So I'm going to make the Aleph very small. So if someone's not looking, it could look like the word is Vayiker. This past week, we pulled out the Sefer on Shabbat afternoon. So I was very excited to look for the little Aleph. And I see the word Vayikra. And the Aleph is a drop smaller than the rest of the word. But it's not noticeable. And you don't have that element that it looks like Vayiker with a tiny Aleph next to it. You don't have that. So I kind of felt cheated of my Aleph Zeira moment for this year. So I'm looking forward either to next year or to using another Sefer Torah for the reading. Okay? Now, What, this whole idea, Vayikra, speaks to what? Speaks to the humility of Moshe Rabbeinu. And to me, it's an amazing juxtaposition between Moshe Rabbeinu and the story of the Megillah. Ironically, our rabbis tell us that Haman, in choosing the day for Purim, is very excited to choose the week of the Petirah of Moshe. Because it has in that week the day that Moshe Rabbeinu died. The Gemara says, Ve'ihu lo yada, but he did not know that on the day that Moshe Rabbeinu died, it's also the day that Moshe Rabbeinu was born. Okay? Very straightforward Gemara. But that seems like a little bit of a strange approach for Haman to take. What does Moshe Rabbeinu's birth or death have to do with anything? Is it just that it's a negative sign for the Jewish people? Is that it? Is that what Haman was after? He found a day that the, you know, but he could have been happy if it was the day that someone else died. Like, I don't know about you, but think about it this way. You want a good sign about when the Jewish people, you know, will meet their demise. I would have chosen the death of Avraham Avinu. He's the forefather of all the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu is not the forefather of all the Jewish people, is he? He's a big prophet, right? But is he the epicenter of what the Jewish people, you know, who gave birth to the Jewish people? So my friends, it's important to try and understand why Haman thought that the death of Moshe was a great symbol and sign for him to be able to succeed. Now I want to give the answer on two levels. I want to give the answer first on a simple level. On a simple level, Haman was a person who understood that the salvation and the Yeshua of the Jewish people was dependent on their fulfillment of Torah and mitzvot. Right? That's why his plan with Achashverosh is to get them to come to the Seuda, to this big meal, where he's going to try in one way or another to get them to go against the Torah, again, in one way or another. And through that, he knows if he can convince them to sin, if he can convince them to do something wrong, then maybe he'll be able to get them and punish them through that process. Haman is someone who understands this. He gets it. So therefore, what is Haman trying to symbolize with choosing the day of the death of Moshe? That in the death of Torah is the death of the Jewish people. So this first lesson is something which I think is so powerful. Okay, and I don't want to spend too much time because that's not my end goal for today's class. But you cannot not see this and not be impressed. I know that's a lot of double negatives there. But I want to point this out. Let's just understand. The Pasuk says, "Mi oyevai techakmeni." From our enemies, from my enemies, techakmeni, make me smart. Literal translation of that Pasuk means that what we ask Hashem is, God, make us smarter than our enemies. If they're going to figure out a clever way to attack us, make us more clever. Let us figure out how to repel that clever attack. Make us smarter than our enemies. It's literal interpretation. However, an alternate reading of the Pasuk would tell us, Me oyevai techakmeni, make me smart from my enemies. Not make me smarter than my enemies, but make me smart from my enemies. Let me learn lessons from them. Now, a lot of times, a person might think that the pirush, the understanding in that is, no, you look at your enemy, you learn a great thing from your enemy. Let's say your enemy, as an example, has a really smart piece of technology that they use in warfare. So Hashem, you know, you pray to God that we should become clever and learn from them. Let's say they have a really good strength as a people. We should learn that strength and adopt it and also bring it into our people. That's a simpler understanding of this lesson of make me smart from my enemies. But there's another way of understanding this. And this is perhaps the truest form of wisdom. Is not knowing what your enemy knows. It's not knowing or teaching or learning something from them. But rather, listen carefully, rather it's learning about myself from them. Let me explain. A lot of times, a person is unaware of their own strength. And why are they unaware of their strength? Because for them, they are used to that strength. So it loses its uniqueness. A person doesn't understand how advantageous that strength is, because for them, it's just something that they take for granted. Let's say, I'll give you an example. Let's say a person was born being a natural extrovert. They get along with everybody. It's very easy for them to talk to anybody. They don't think that that's a big bracha, because for them, it's just natural. I talk to everybody. I have an easy time standing up in front of a room full of people. I can make a pitch at work and not be shaking about it, and, you know, staying up the whole night before worrying about it. It comes naturally. So for me, when I'm looking at my own strengths, what do I count as my strengths? Not that. That for me is like breathing. You know, that for me is like, you know, I can read, I can speak, no big deal, right? When a person doesn't see that, then a lot of times they don't double down, they don't lean on their great strengths. A lot of times, in order to be able to see a strength, you need to see it in a mirror. And there is no greater mirror than the mirror of your enemy, which is looking so carefully for your strength to be able to use it against you or to undermine it. Haman understood better than we do the power and the interoperative relationship between fulfillment of Torah and mitzvot and our safety, our security, and our beracha. I said a while ago that when Chacham Uvadia died, alav shalom, at the time, Yimach Shemo v'Zichro, Yasser Arafat, right? I believe it was Yasser Arafat, although it may have been another one of the heads of Hamas or Hezbollah. They said, now their Chacham has died. Now we can attack them. Now we'll be successful. You know why? Because their Sadiq, their Chacham has died. Sar Tzilam, their shade, their shadow, their protection is gone. How is it that the head of Hamas Hezbollah PA, the Palestinian Authority, is able to understand the power, the beauty, the kavod of a tzaddik, and so many of our own brothers and sisters don't understand it? Me'oyivai techakmeni. We need to sometimes become wise by listening carefully to our enemies, because they have an insight into what is very strong, what is powerful about us. However, as I said, that is not the message I wanted to focus with you on today. The second idea is something which comes originally from the Zohar. The Zohar tells us that Mordechai was actually a Gilgul. He was a reincarnation. He had been here before. Moshe Rabbeinu was Nitgalgel, was reincarnated, was brought back through the soul, through the neshama of Mordechai. The minute you understand that, what the Zohar tells you, that Mordechai's soul is the soul of Moshe Rabbeinu. In fact, you should just know as well, the Zohar tells us that today in our world, there are no more new souls. So when you say that someone's an old soul, you're saying that it's true about everybody. Everybody's an old soul. And I think as well, a huge part of the confusion that we experience today in people, where people literally don't know who they are, is because of this. As time goes on, and there's Gilgul after Gilgul after Gilgul, you're dealing with a soul that's been here numerous times before. And those different capacities and histories, those pitfalls, those successes. Gosh, I made the mistake again. All of those things.
Do you remember when, like 100 years ago, when all of a sudden the TV would just go all the colors, and it would go like, right? And the first thing everyone would go do is just go whack the TV. We were a very violent society back then, you know. Now you immediately call customer service, like, you know. Then it was like, whack! 9 times out of 10, that would be enough. right? Again, we do live in a generation where you solved most of your gaming problems on Nintendo with this. Sticking it back in. Okay. My friends, we're back. So I do think that that's a part and parcel of why people are so confused. They feel their neshama, their soul is pulling in different directions. They can feel a tikkun that's needed here in this arena, in that arena. They can feel elements of strengths, of weaknesses that are part and parcel of who they are because of the fact that there are numerous gilgulim that are taking place. Now again, it's a complicated subject, maybe to be treated properly in another class. But the Zohar tells us that Mordechai is a Gilgul of Moshe Rabbeinu. It suddenly becomes abundantly clear, by the way, why the Gemara tells us in Masechet Shabbat that when the Jewish people received the Torah on Mount Sinai, Kafa Alehem Har Kegigit, God turned the Torah over their head like a barrel. And he said, if you accept the Torah, good, and if not, Sham te'ekvuratchem, there will be your burial place. Gemara asks, how could that be? That means that we were forced into receiving the Torah. Mikan moda'a rabba le'oraita. From here we have a great excuse for all of the Torah. If anything we didn't do properly, we could say to God, listen, you know, it's true, I didn't really keep it. But you know what, Hashem, in the end of the day, you know, I didn't scroll down and click agree. You held something over my head, you forced me to do it, right? So it was never accepted of my own free will. So I had a get out of jail free card in Shamayim when I didn't do the right thing because I could have said I was forced to do it. But then the Gemara says, however, in the time of the Megillah, Hadar Kiblua, they again accepted the Torah in the time of the Megillah. Like it says, Kimu v'kibelu ayudim, the Jewish people stood up, Kimu v'kibelu, they stood up, they kept and they accepted upon themselves, says the Gemara, Kiyemu mashekibelu kevar. They accepted, right? Kiyemu, they kept mashekibelu kvar, what they accepted already. At that point, there was a reacceptance of the Torah, a reacceptance of the Torah that was done willingly, and therefore, mikan moda'a rabba leoraita is gone. You have no more answer, and now it was accepted willingly. I want you to understand, according to the Zohar, the symmetry of the fact that it was through Moshe when we had the initial acceptance of the Torah, and it's through Mordechai, who is also a Gilgul of Moshe, that we accept and re-accept that Torah that we accepted from him all those years ago. There's a beautiful symmetry to that. There's a beautiful appropriateness, if you will, to the fact that it's the same neshama that brings it to us yet again. However, we also understand, my friends, that Haman, in choosing to find the day to vanquish Mordechai as the death date of Moshe Rabbeinu, we now understand why that day is so attractive to Haman. Now, there's two ways of seeing this. One way is that Haman understood where Mordechai had come from. Right? How did we? Why? It says that Haman was astrologos gadol. He had this unbelievable koach of being able to understand what was going on in the heavens. So much so that when he throws the lots, he's able to understand which day is not a good day because of the zechuyot, which month is not a good month, which wood is not a good wood to hang Mordechai on. He's connected with all these loftier concepts. So Haman knows, I can't start with Mordechai. You know why? Because he has all this zechut. But on the day or in the week that Moshe Rabbeinu dies, that means that there's a mazal for me to kill him. Him specifically. And why is that enough? The answer is, because if you cut off the head, like the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbat, psik resha velo yamut. Right? The Gemara over there is talking about a famous idea in Hilchot Shabbat. Let's say a person does something, okay, does an act, which automatically is going to cause another act. So the classic example of Psik Resha is, you take a very heavy bench and you're dragging it across the grass. There's 0% possibility or probability that you're not going to be ripping grass out as you go. 0%. Yeah, you got that? If it's a light bench, maybe it's possible. Heavy bench, impossible. So therefore, it's as if I ripped the grass out with my hands. Why? Because psik reshe, lo yamut. Could you cut the head off a chicken and then have the chicken still stay alive? No. If you cut the head off, it's dead. Even if, you know, it takes a few seconds for it to die, it's an automatic, what's it called? Follow through of what you've done. There's no escaping that A equals B. My friends, Haman understood psik resha velo yamut. He threw a party. The purpose of the party was to cause the Jewish people to sin. He manages to get everyone to the party. But there's one leader, Mordechai, that says no, that doesn't go. Haman understands that if he's managed to be able to do what he's been able to do, it's because he's been able to get the Jews to sin. But there's one more standout that he needs to vanquish. And who is that? Mordechai. How do I get him? The guy seems to be impenetrable. You know what? Let me find the day that he died the last time around. And there, in that space, I'll be able to get him. My friends, how important it is to have great leaders in our midst. You know, when you think of the story of Megillat Esther, the story happens, the salvation happens through Esther. She makes a huge sacrifice. But the story doesn't work even with Esther if you don't have Mordechai. It's Mordechai who tells her to go. It's Mordechai who tells her not to convince. It's Mordechai who overhears Bigtan Vateresh, right? That's the one. Mordechai is the leader. Without the leader, the story does not work. My friends, leaders come in many different shapes and sizes. You look at Mordechai, a Gilgul of Moshe. You look at how the Jewish people would have been lost without Moses, how they would have been lost without Mordechai. And you think to yourself, okay, who is that person in the generation? Surely not me, right? Maybe some rabbi off in Israel. That's who, you know, the psikre, the reshe is, the head of the Jewish people, the thing that saves the Jews. But in actual fact, that's not the case. I was at a funeral yesterday, which is why I couldn't be here in the morning. A funeral of someone that was affectionately called Raymond the Barber. Raymond Cohen, Alav HaShalom. I was on the Tehillim chat for him. And last night, I was reflecting that going to this funeral was like going to a series of classes to learn about what it is like to live a life of selflessness in this world. To hear the rabbis talk. To hear his children talk about him. Shema Yisrael. The kindness of this man was from some sort of other planet. The selflessness. How much he cared, not for everybody, but for nobody. For a person that everyone else forgot about. A very old person, a very sick person, a person who was a stranger in the community. He had time for everybody. And there was one line that one of his sons said. His son repeated over that he heard from a great rabbi. that the rabbi said that Raymond Cohen is the Gadol Hador of Chesed. He's the great leader of our generation in Chesed. I think to myself, maybe you did not have the chance or the merit to be able to study for 50 years in yeshiva to become a Chacham Ovadia. Maybe you did not have the merit of even having a Jewish education. Maybe you did not have the merit to grow up in a house where your parents were Shomer Shabbat. And you know what? You're late to the game, but you're on the train. You started with lighting candles. You started doing something. That doesn't mean that you can't be an irreplaceable part of the Jewish people. An irreplaceable leader. A Gadol Hador in Tzedakah. A Gadol Hador in family purity. A Gadol Hador in raising children. A Gadol Hador in Kashrut. A Gadol Hador in Lashon Hara. Someone that, if there's a Haman out there thinking, who do I got to get rid of? If I'm trying to tank the Jewish people, they think of you. You're the Reshe. What an unbelievable idea. So you have Moshe Rabbeinu on the one hand. Moshe and Mordechai. What are they about? Small Aleph. I'm a nobody. It's not about me. I have no problem, Mordechai, you know, being unpopular. The end of the Megillah tells us that he was Ratzui L'Rov Echav. You know, most of the people liked him. Had that saved the whole Jewish people, and they still couldn't get behind the guy. Right? He didn't bother him. He left the Sanhedrin because he needed to take care of the Jewish people. It didn't bother him that he wasn't the most popular. Mordechai is Moshe, small Aleph. And who's Haman? Haman is the person who, if Haman was writing the Torah, it would be small Vayiker and a giant Aleph. Aleph standing for Anochi, me. When a person doesn't put themselves first, when they put other people first, when they put the mission first, when they put the Torah first, then they can become unbelievable people. You know, you meet someone in a hospital delivering food to the Bikur Cholim room. The guy's not a religious person. They're not necessarily so connected to Torah. How'd you start doing this? What's your connection? The guy will tell you, no, once I was here in this hospital and I had to have these meals because, you know, I'm kosher. Or even if I'm not kosher, my father keeps kosher. And my father needed the meals in the Bikur Cholim room. And it meant so much to me that I could get him the food that he wanted at all hours of the day or night. I decide I want to volunteer. I'm delivering the meals to the hospital. That's a Gadol Hador in Hakarat HaTov. In gratitude. You know, every once in a while, I'll get through the mail. Someone will write me a handwritten note of thanks. Sometimes I can't even read the handwriting. But what a special thing. What a lost art. The other day, my daughter, she'll live and be well, was in Cafe Arone, and a woman walks in. She's reformed. She's not so connected. She wants to know about getting involved. My daughter tells her, you know, my father's a rabbi in the Orthodox synagogue. She says, oh, that's so interesting. I'd love to go. What time? Class, would I be able to go? She came to the Shabbat afternoon class. She wrote me a letter like this. But so beautiful, so appreciative. She's only starting to learn over here. And I pray that she feels comfortable and welcome to come whenever she wants. To learn, to grow, to become more connected to Torah and to Judaism. But there's one bit she's already got right. And when a person starts from that place, not Hakarat HaTov being grateful, but before Hakarat HaTov recognizing the good, comes just recognizing. In order to recognize good, you need to recognize. Recognize, like Moshe Rabbeinu does, that you know something, I might be at the top of a very tall mountain, but by God, I was born here. I was born to the Gadol Hador, to Amram. I was born to Yocheved, who's a person who risks her life to save Jewish babies. My sister was Miriam. My brother was Aaron. I'm a nobody. When I should have drowned in the ocean, God sent not just an angel to save me, but none other than the princess of Egypt pulls me out of the water to save my life. God, every step of the way, it was because of you. I'm going to write in the Torah, Vayikra, that I'm a special person. I am special, but not because of me. I'm special because you made me special. That's how a person who accomplishes great things in this world stays humble and keeps producing. If you don't realize you're special, you don't invest in your strengths. So you have to have a small aleph. It needs to be there, but it needs to be small. How do you keep it small? By recognizing who you are, what you're great at, what your gadlut is in, what you need to strive to do better at. You say, I am special, but I was made special. May Hashem bless us always to be that person in the lives of Am Yisrael. But you don't become that person in the lives of Am Yisrael before you are that person in the lives of your family, in the lives of your friends. Don't think big circle. Think smallest possible circle. What's the first thing we read about Moshe Rabbeinu? How much he cares about his brothers and sisters around him. He has a scenario. He saves the guy. Moshe Rabbeinu is not passing legislature to save the Jews in the beginning. Moshe Rabbeinu is a guy who was worried about how his brother is going to feel. When you take care of small circle, then somehow your circle expands and expands and expands, and you achieve a tremendous position of greatness. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen v'amen.